Saturday morning, and welcome to Christ Today here on KKXX. This is Tori Tipp filling in for Curtis Smith. Curtis is out and away from us on vacation for a while, and we're excited today to have Don Arney. Don's been a missionary to the Philippines for the last 28 years, where he and his wife have been doing God's work. We're excited to have you on the program today, Don. Thank you for being here.
Great honor and privilege to serve the people of God here in the North Valley.
So how long have you been back in the States?
We've been back for a while. We go back and forth now. Part of the job of a missionary is to work yourself out of a job. And God has just given us the most phenomenal people. And one of our dilemmas is, as we enter into these end times, the time of Jacob's troubles, is that every time we have come back, we have seen the deterioration of America, and it has alarmed us. 28 years ago, when God sent us out with $500 in our pocket and a promise of $110 support for a family of six, the church in America sent us out to reach the unreached people, those in poverty, in corruption, bound by communism, witchcraft, and a host of other things. And now, as we have come back, America has become a mission field. And so there's a conflict in our heart, as it was with Lester Sumrall when God called him back from the Philippines to come to America to minister to the mission field here.
Well, there's a lot of things going on. I heard many missionaries say that it's changed their lives. Anyone that has been in another country, let alone a third world country, and seeing everything that goes on, and then to see how blessed we are here in the United States, and to be blessed with all that we have and all that God's given us here. And talk a little bit about that, would you? Just seeing the differences. And then as you describe that, tell us about how you've seen changes that have went on here in the United States while being in another country.
As we came back from serving in the Philippines on various itineration journeys, every time we came back, after 3 or 4 or 5 years, just to be in touch with our churches, all of a sudden, churches we had spoken at were no longer in existence. Churches we had spoken at were divided. Churches that used to have services Sunday morning, Sunday evening, midweek services, we're now only having a service on Sunday morning. It was quite a shock, because in the Philippines, we were in the midst of revival and we didn't know it. We thought it was just everyday Christianity. We were so greenhorn when God sent us over that every time the Spirit of God was moving, we'd have to open the Bible and say, God, is this in the Bible? And so coming back, we were just disheartened, because there was such a spirit of entertainment, a spirit of self, of division, of pride within the churches, and they could not see the seriousness of the hour. And here, we struggled with tribal peoples and village peoples and peoples who were so hungry for God in the Philippines, they would walk for miles to hear the word of God, and they would just stay in church all day. It was their livelihood. It was their hope. And here, it was so discouraging and broke our hearts for the pastors to plead with people just to come for 1 hour.
Well, it's amazing here, just even living here, just to see what's gone on since 9/11. and to watch our country and the direction that it's going. And I keep telling my wife that in the last days, the light will become light and the dark will become dark. There won't be this gray matter. There's always some grayness of what's right and what's wrong. And as we continue through our days, we just notice that that gray is fading away. The darkness, it's becoming very bold and proclaiming the works of Satan. And the light is becoming lighter. I mean, you can see God's hand moving throughout the world. And as Curtis asked me to be on this program, I'd been praying and seeking the Lord, and we have these end times. And the Lord had led me to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and Rabbi Mark Blitz, these two rabbis that have helped open a lot of people's eyes. Jonathan Kahn wrote The Harbinger and Year of the Shemitah. You may be familiar with these books. And so I get this opportunity to host Christ Today, and Curtis asked me to be on it and to meet with Don. And Don hands me a letter that he has worked with for his ministry. And it is exactly what the Lord has been teaching me about the year of the Shemitah and the different dates that we're fast approaching here in September. And I just got Holy Ghost goosebumps about it, and I'm so grateful that you're here today, Don. Tell us, there's a lot of people that are wondering that may or may not know about the harbingers and the year of the Shemitah that Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is talking about. But can you help us out with that? And we have the we've got 9/11 here, September 11th coming up, and then on the 13th the Shemitah. Will you enlighten us a little bit on that for our listeners?
Thank you, Tori. It's just a great privilege to serve the Lord. There's nothing finer in the life of a person to experience the love of God, the love of Jesus, and to live for Him alone. It is an amazing thing, the love of God, and how He constantly wants to draw us closer to His heart, even as John the Beloved laid upon the chest, the bosom of Jesus, so that he could hear the heartbeat of Jesus. And in God's mercy, I believe that he has sent in these last days two witnesses to America, two, if you would, John the Baptist type of messengers in the form of two messianic, spirit-filled rabbis, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, as Brother Tori said, and Rabbi Mark Blitz. It is an amazing thing because in these two witnesses, God has encapsulated what true Christianity is supposed to be and what true Judaism is. And these two rivers merging together, as it talks about in the book of Galatians, to bring forth the one new man. And so we have these two witnesses nearly shouting in to every corner of the United States, prepare the way of the Lord is coming. And so, for Jonathan Kahn, with the falling of the Twin Towers, that became a sign of awareness that God's hand of protection had lifted from America, and through the mystery of the Spirit of God, began to teach Rabbi Jonathan Kahn what it meant to America for these Twin Towers to fall, and the harbingers, the portents of signs that were pointing to God's increasing signature judgments upon America if America did not repent.
So, and since that time, you know, we all saw 9/11, we saw the churches full, people were coming back to God. I'd seen a fire in America that I hadn't seen in really all my days. And I'm 47 years old, and I had never really witnessed that kind of passion for Jesus in the United States until 9/11, until we had that shaking When in 2000, I had a dream. The Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. in the morning, and this from this dream, I mean, it was so vivid, and I saw from more of a satellite view of the United States of America, and I saw a shaking going on and a rumbling, and it started over on the East Coast, and it upheavaled like great rocks, and it the whole United States was coming up in rocks, and it was shaking like you would see maybe like a Hollywood might depictate an earthquake. And then it started on the West Coast, and it met in the middle of the United States, and the whole United States became sand, and a gust of wind blew some dust away, and it was so intense that it woke me up straight up in the right out of a dead sleep at 3 a.m. And I've never forgotten that. And it wasn't too long after that 9/11 had. And then as getting back to Don here, but with that kind of shaking, the Lord's trying to get our attention. And then it happened again on another Shemitah in 2008. Talk about that.
Yes, Brother Tory. I was in the Philippines at the time of the Twin Towers, and I saw that on TV just collapse. As a missionary, my perspective is a little bit different. I saw that first as a judgment. Of course, the Twin Towers being our Babel, that we reached to the skies with our strength of our money, of our might, our economic power, that we would be as gods. And so I saw God's judgment coming in 2001, and again, as Brother Tory said, in 2008, as a judgment against our worshiping the almighty dollar and not the almighty God. There was, yes, for about a month, there was, after 2001, people rushing to churches, filling the churches. But understand this, that there is no revival without repentance. And there was no repentance during that time. There were people who were remorseful, who were sad about the loss, but within a month or two, people were cutting everyone off on the freeway. They weren't holding the doors open for people. They were rude. And so God had to increase his hand of judgment upon America because there was no turning back to him. Young E. Cho, several years ago, the pastor of the largest church in the world, when he came to visit America and he was shown all the sites in America and all the great churches and everything, he said, you know, American Christians do everything but pray. That has shaken my heart core in so many levels. And we had endeavored as missionaries from the very first day that we were there that we would seek our face as the apostles did, that we will give ourselves to the word and to prayer. And that must be first place in our lives. And so I saw that judgment of the Twin Towers as a judgment against the church in particular. Who did the judgment come? It came from our enemies. And who are enemies? Our Muslim brothers and sisters. And why are they our enemies? Because we have failed since the time of Muhammad to reach out, to send our missionaries. Indeed, a missionary to the Muslims is one in a million. Can you imagine sending one person to the city of L.A., where there's in that basin 12 to 15 million people, and having just 15 missionaries trying to touch those people. And so I saw that in terms of God's eyes, of us, our failure to show the love of God to our Muslim brothers and sisters. And because of that, what do they have? They have only their religion. They have only what they know. They don't know the love of God. They don't know that God is a friend who is closer than a brother or sister. They don't know that he sent his son to die for whomsoever will upon the cross. So when he extended his hands upon the cross, he opened himself to all the world naked, humbled, in absolute humility. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that is what God's heart cry is until this day. And so sad to say, there was no national repentance after 2001. And 2008 repeated itself with an even greater crash. And now we're approaching the third sign of judgment upon this nation, this September 13th.
Don, talk about that, September 13th, various dates throughout the rest of the month, as the Lord would direct you there. 13th. What's the 13th? What's significant about that?
September 13th is in the Jewish calendar called the Day of Elul 29. In 2001 and in 2008, there was an economic judgment sent by God on America, and they fell on that exact day of Elul 29. In Jewish religion and in the calendar, and according to the Bible, going back to Leviticus, talking about the seventh year, the sabbatical year, the year of the Shemitah, towards the last day of the year, there is, on the Elul 29, the very last day of the Shemitah year, the seventh year cycle, there is a day of recking when God will bless or curse a nation, bring a nation up, rising or falling, nullification or wipe out or blessing according to how that nation has obeyed God or if they have turned from God, then there is a financial judgment, and it affects every man, every woman, every child in a nation. It affects the economy. It affects things for years to come.
Don, we're going to take a short break here. You're listening to Christ Today on KKXX with Tori Tipp and our host, Don Arney, missionary to the world and to the Philippines. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
All right, listeners, welcome back to Christ Today. Don, now we're through with, you just got done telling us about the year of the Shemitah, Elul 29. That's the seventh month, September the 13th. That is Yule 29, so that's the seventh month, 29th day on the Jewish calendar. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure I was understanding correctly. And then we have coming up 13th, 14th here, Rosh Hashanah, and it begins at sundown on the 13th. And would you tell us about that, please?
Yes, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the new year. The year of 5775 in the Jewish calendar is coming to an end on the very last day, the day of reckoning, of nullification, of accounting, and of blessing, and initiating a new year, which is Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is very interesting because it is sometimes termed the Feast of Trumpets. And the trumpets are sounding to alert the people that a new year is coming, and that it is initiating what is called the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe are when people, Jewish people, and of course we are grafted in also as a one new man into God's calendar. It's not the Jewish calendar, but it's God's calendar, because it is God's appointed feast days for man and woman. When God meets with his people at various times and seasons of these holy high days to communicate his word, his blessing, his instructions to his people, and indeed to tabernacle with them. And so Rosh Hashanah initiates the 10 days of awe, in which they believe that the doors of heaven, the gates of heaven, are in a sense open, and we have access to come boldly to the throne of of grace and to reconcile ourselves with God. Where there has been sin in our lives, where there has been unforgiveness, where there has been bitterness, where someone has perhaps done us wrong and we have not had the grace to forgive, we can come and humble ourselves. And it's a time of preparation. It's a time of preparation in these 10 days before the great and awesome day of the Day of Atonement, when the great high priest goes in to the Holy of Holies to make intercession for the nation. And of course, Jesus, our Savior, did that 2,000 years ago. But Rosh Hashanah is a sign and to the Jewish people. And I'd like to read something concerning Rosh Hashanah, which very few Christians who do not have a whole lot of knowledge about Judaism and about some of these feast days would be very fascinated in. Rosh Hashanah begins with three different toned shofars sounding in unison three times. So that's nine times. This is repeated 11 times for a total of 99 blasts of the shofar. There is a pause, and then the shofar is sounded one more time on the Rosh Hashanah for the 100th blast. This last blast is known as the last trump, which is why some Christians believe that the rapture would take place during this festival in some year in the near future. Notice the representation or the reoccurrence of threes representing the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Rosh Hashanah is also referred to as a day of blowing, the time of Jacob's troubles, and the day of awakening and opening of the books. Most importantly, Rosh Hashanah ushers in the 10 days of awe. This is a 10-day period given to repentance when Jews believe that the courts of heaven are open for Israel to reconcile with God. Rosh Hashanah begins the year 5776.
That's awesome. So all these things coming together, would you say that God is trying to get our attention, Don?
I have, for the last 18 months, spent more time in prayer and fasting than perhaps in any period of my life, because the signs that Jesus has talked about in Matthew 24 and in Luke and the book of Daniel and Revelation, they are all converging. And this is the important thing. Before, yes, there was signs of the times, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. But all of this is coming together, and God has put on a celestial display in the heavens, a billboard, and it's flashing red alert. It's a flashing red sign. And we as Christians can be laissez-faire. We can just be complacent. Oh, yes, God's doing that. We shake our heads. And this is part of the attitude. I am shocked when I came back to the United States of this entertainment cycle within the Christian church of been there, done that, seen that. Let's go on to the new teaching. Let's go on to the new pastor. Let's go on to the new conference. And not seeing the flashing red lights all around us. And so God has really been getting our attention with this Shemitah, which is in the seventh cycle of 7 years. So we're in the 49th year of this Shemitah cycle, which means that we are on the verge of entering into the year of Jubilee. The other thing about this Shemitah is that it converges, as Brother Tori was pointed out, with the high holy days, that for this last year and a half, 2014, 2015, these blood moons have fallen on consecutive holy days and consecutive years of Passover, of the Feast of Tabernacles, of Passover and Feast of Tabernacles. This has happened only 8 times since the time of Christ. Of course, there's always been blood moons and eclipses, but for the blood moons to fall on these specific days, it has happened only 8 times since the time of Christ. And every time these have occurred, it has indicated war, disruption, persecution of the Jewish people in these last 5 blood moon tetrads. Now, in these last 3, they have been focused completely upon the reestablishment of Israel as a nation in the Balfour Declaration, 1917, 1918, of God calling them, as it was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, back to the land from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Again, these blood moons showed up at the time of the 1967 war. And again, Israel, for the first time, recaptured Jerusalem and made that their religious capital, where they could again begin to worship. And now we're entering into this last blood moon tetrad. The last blood moon will be on September 28th. And it is the only blood moon. It is a super blood moon. So it'll be 14% brighter, about 25 to 30% larger. And it's the only blood moon during this whole period of 2014 to 2015 that Israel will see. So here you have this picture of Israel in the Feast of Tabernacles. They're tabernacling with God on their balconies, in their backyards with their little thatched booths, tabernacling with God. And here's this blood moon sign. So you've got this bulletin board, this big skyward universal bulletin board flashing to the world that events are taking place that will never happen again as far as the blood moons falling on these high holy days for 562 years. So is God speaking to us prophetically? Yes. Are we listening? No.
I call the ones that are listening awake, and I think there's so many of us, Christians and people in general, whether you're a Christian or not, that are just asleep, or you've been lulled into submission by how good we've had it here in the United States, or through your television and Hollywood, or just even the news, believing everything that we hear, that everything's so smooth that, you know, but there's a lot going on. And I call the ones that are aware of their surroundings, of the times that we're living in, people that are awake. So hopefully this program will help people become awake before it's too late. And it's important that I think that we realize and understand dawn and the rabbis, Jonathan Kahn and Rabbi Mark Blitz. We're not saying that this is it. This is it, absolutely. This is the end of the world. That's not what we're saying. They are merely saying that this could happen. God does not have to do anything. We're just looking, they're looking at the times, the seasons, the history, how everything is lining up with the Shemitahs and what has happened in the past and how God is speaking to us. And nothing has to happen. I mean, we could go through this and there could be nothing happen. But certainly, if you look at the signs of the time, if you look at the Jewish calendar, if you look at the year of Jubilee, then certainly the Lord is speaking, and he's trying to speak to us, I believe, very loudly. He's nearly shouting at us, but there not everybody is hearing. But it's good to be prepared, and it's good to remember. Don talked about fasting and praying and coming off of a 40-day fast. It's good to remember the Word of God. This is not a time to fear, but to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And to remember 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, that means we're going to have to humble ourselves. God's not going to do it for us. We've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So I encourage people at this time to fast and pray. Go into that season of fasting and praying. Humble yourselves. Get before the Lord, pray for our nation, plead the blood of Jesus over the United States of America, pray for Israel. Those who pray for Israel, those who bless Israel, Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And the Bible is very plain about that. Then we coming up here, Dawn, on the 15th, we have the United Nations, and then we also have Jade Helm on the 15th. I don't know that very many people know about Jade Helm. You might touch on that for a little bit if you feel led there. And then from that, we would move on over to the of what's coming. The Pope is coming here to the United States and some different things like that. So what would you say about Jade Helm and then the International Day of Peace, which is coming? And one of the things it says is peace, peace, peace. Then be ready, because it's getting close to the return of the Lord.
Yes, Brother Tory. This is why there is such a big signboard that is just plastered over the world and in the skies and on the newspapers. Everything converges in September. The final blood moon, as we shared earlier, is finishing up here in September 28th. We are initiating the year of Jubilee, and that begins at sunset on the Day of Atonement, September 23rd. And again, as we talk about these blood moons and these tetrads, I want to make it very clear that God in his love, he is so loving. But because he sees that we are going wrong, he whom he loves, he chastens and he disciplines. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't be doing these signs. He wouldn't be sending his witnesses. He wouldn't be doing the shakings that he does. But because he loves us, he sees us as of five foolish virgins, without oil, without power. And what is that oil? That's that intimacy. That is that indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, that indwelling resurgence of his love. Just consider in your church the ten virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. And if the Lord was to come to bring his bride to heaven, would that mean that 50% of the church would be left behind? What a sad day it would be. What a tragic day that would be. And so these last two economic judgments on a Smita year, and in the very last day of that calendar year, on the day of nullification and the day of reckoning of accounts of a nation, America has experienced it. For myself, I believe that there is another economic shaking coming. I believe that we may even see on 9/11, the 14th anniversary of 9/11, a turnkey event that may precipitate and lead to the beginning of economic shaking in America, even to the stock market crashing 7,777 points. Why do I say this? Because this will be the third economic judgment. Since 9/11, since 2008, there has not been national repentance. Our leaders have not humbled themselves. On June 24th, America crossed the line in such a way that we desecrated, and before a coming judgment comes, there is warning, but there is also desecration of the holy things, of the holy instruments of God. And there was a desecration by this nation on June 21st, which marred the image of God in man, in woman, in child, in families, in our country, and in holy marriage, which was instituted by God, the divine institution by God. And we dared to poke our finger of rebellion and of lust of the flesh and of uncleanness into the eye of God. And so we have crossed that line. What other lines are there to cross? The abortion of more than 55, 60 million babies. The Bible clearly says the life is in the blood. Those babies are a gift of God. The moment there is the union of the seed of the man and the egg of the woman, that is conception. A seed that is planted in the ground by a farmer, the moment there is a drop of water on that, that is a conception of life. And how we have tried to confuse, rationalize, shows the sorry state of our nation and of a church that has backslidden and is in apostasy. And so I definitely believe that there is going to begin to be the shaking beginning on Friday, and it is going to continue in September, October, November, and December. God forbid that it would. I pray that I am wrong. But I see the prophecy of David Wilkerson, that man of God, that Elijah, prophet of fire, who spoke the words of truth, and most of America did not want to hear that. And he spoke that there would be a coming judgment in America by God, and it would be an economic collapse of our nation to such a degree that we would begin to see martial law, riots, our cities burning, except that we repent and fall on our knees as a nation and ask for mercy. And I believe this prophecy of David Wilkerson from 1973 is coming to pass. And so you see all the arenas, the social, the political, the geologic, the geographic, the weather, Jade 15, the largest military operation in the United States, in the Southwest, coming into the cities, veterans and our public citizens in California and Texas and Mississippi, all across have seen our military penetrating into the cities, practicing martial law routines. Why are they doing that? What would be the purpose of them penetrating our cities, setting up communication, setting up artificial intelligence instrumentation? United Nations opens on the 15th, and they have proclaimed the year of light, Anno Lucis. And what is Anno Lucis? The year of Lucifer's light. They are opening this United Nations. They are celebrating the 70th anniversary of the United Nations. And here we see that 70 again. The 70 years of captivity of Israel when they neglected to celebrate the Shemitah years for 490 years. And so God brought them into bondage into Babylon for 70 years as a representation of all the 7 year times 70 cycles that they did not worship God and obey his laws. And so we have that. We have the Pope coming. We mentioned earlier that these 10 days of awe, beginning on Rosh Hashanah at sundown on September 13th, coming into the Day of Atonement on the 23rd, when, as it is said in Judaic religion, that the doors of heaven are closed after the high priest goes in to make intercession that for the nation. On that very day, the Pope, who, according to St. Malachus, who was an Irish Pope who came to visit the Vatican, the Pope, in 1138, as he approached Rome, on the outskirts of Rome, he had a vision from God, and he saw the final 112 popes that would be the popes until the time of the Antichrist. And the last name on the list that he saw was Pope Francis. And so here on the 23rd, we see Pope Francis coming to visit the White House on the Day of Atonement. We see whom many believe through dreams and visions and even through scriptural inference that our present leader will be the last president of the United States. There have been 44 kings in Israel, and he is the 44th president of the United States. If there was to be an economic collapse, such a terrible way that it completely demolished our economy, no checks would come out, Social Security, disability checks, and all that, with the entitlement programs we have and the dependence of our society upon government aid, you would see within a few weeks people marching on the streets and riots begin to break out. And then martial law would be declared. These are things that can happen and may happen very soon, except we fall down on our knees and humble ourselves before God and cry for mercy because we have turned our backs on God.
With Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, God was, I believe, willing to save if he could find any righteous in that city. It went from 40 to 30 to 20 to 10, and they couldn't find any righteous, and so God ended up being able to get Lot and his family out, and that those cities were destroyed. But I know that here in the United States, Don, that there are many good and godly Christian people here that if we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek the Lord and we cry out for forgiveness and the sins of our nation and plead the blood of Jesus and pray for Israel, I believe, according to God's word, which he watches over to perform it, that we can still turn this thing. It's not too late. It is avoidable if we do what God says, and that is to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he will come and heal our land. And so we are clinging to that scripture, clinging to the Word. Those that adhere to, trust in, and rely on the Word will not be disappointed. God is not a man that he should lie. He watches over his Word to perform it. I know many times in my life where I've had been in a bad situation, and all I had was the Word of God, and I clung to his Word, held on for dear life, and he has always seen me through. When things looked their worst, that there was no way that I was going to come out or come out on top, the Lord was with me, brought me through, set me up on the rock of Jesus Christ, saved me, healed me, delivered me, and set me free. And so I encourage our listeners to cling to the Word. This is not a time for you to be in fear, but to rejoice, for the redemption is drawing nigh. We know that each day that goes by, we are getting closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and these are signs and wonders and that God has put in place for us to be aware. No man knows the day nor the hour, but the Bible says we would know the season, and this is the season. And on the 500 days, if you remember, the French minister, if I pronounce his name right, Laurent Fabrice, said to John Kerry, this is back May 14th, 2014, that we have 500 days to avoid climate chaos. Tell us about that.
Yes, that is another convergence that is happening. No one is really sure what that means. But again, that 500 days proclamation to avoid climate chaos falls on the Day of Atonement. Now, let me share this to you. God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice, of loving kindness, but he is also one that is a judge of the nations. And when we begin to go off course, he is the one and the only one that can bring us back on course. Now, he is always talking to us by his Spirit. But if we are not listening, then we continue to walk in that way. The great, great heart cry of the Lord is, I am seeking those who will worship me in spirit and truth. We want to be like Cain. We want to do our good works and offer our works and our sacrifices, when all God is wanting is that we would run to him and not run away from him. And so here again we see God multiplying a number of things in the political, spiritual, astronomical realm, the geologic world, to get our attention. He's shaking us. And this is what this Shemitah is like, a big signboard, a door that is that humanity is going through. Now, in January of this year, as I was seeking God's face and praying and fasting, God put it in my heart that he had put something into his church, into his people, as if to say that life, his life, was being placed as a gift into his people. But the challenge was for us as a people that if we were walking closely with God, and if we desired God above all else, that, as he says, I will be found of them who seek me early. So we have to take the initiative. He's waiting for us to run to him. And so if we desire him above everything else, because he will have no other lovers beside himself, if we are still more concerned about our jobs, our family, our football games, and all those things which are okay. But if God is not first place, and I'm not just talking about that we speak that with our words, but that as we breathe, we are breathing in the life of Jesus. As we exhale, as we are walking, we are seeing ourselves as servants of the Most High. We are seeing ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are seeing ourselves, as it says in Galatians 2 and 20, that we have been crucified with Christ, and it is not I that lives, but that Christ who lives in me, that the presence and dwelling presence of God. We are praying for the anointing of God. I want the church to go farther than that. Anointing is for service. He's asking us to dwell in his glory. He's asking us to dwell in his presence, that our eyes are not anything else, but on the one who is altogether lovely. And so, yes, all these events we have on the 23rd, that's supposed to be the Day of Atonement, when the Pope, the last Pope, meets the last President, when what God had told me, that he was putting his gift into his church. And so when we trace January 1st to the Day of Atonement, that comes out to be 266 days, which is the normal period of a conception to carrying a baby to the delivery, 266 days. Now, it is also interesting that when the Pope meets the President, that is on the 266th day. So the challenge is this, and the inference is this. God is wanting to bring his church into a full term, to give birth to that new thing, to give birth to the sheep nation, to give birth to the wheat. But at the same time that the church is, that God is, by his Holy Spirit and precious Lord Jesus, is wanting to bring forth his church into full maturity, the enemy, the Antichrist, the beast system is also coming forth and bringing birth the Antichrist system. And so what do we desire? What we desire is what we will receive. What we think on, what we dwell on, is what we will receive. I have never felt more unworthy in all my life. I am finishing a 40-day fast, but I am constrained to continue it because of what I am seeing. And my heart is weeping because I'm sharing with pastors and with Bible studies and different groups, and they all have their agendas and they're all nice, but we're not listening. We aren't on the heart of God. We're not having our ear and putting aside our church politics, our church agendas, our vacations and our holidays to see that this is the most critical time in all of prophetic history, that we are going through a door where these world events, that on this day of the 23rd of Atonement is a day when CERN, which is this Hadron Collider, is supposed to be at full power. It is the largest piece of machinery in the world. It is on the border of Switzerland and France. It is actually on the ancient site of a village that was dedicated to the worship of Apollo, or Apollyon, the sun god, the destroyer. And scientists, in their pride and in their fullness, are attempting to find the God particle, attempting to find the Big Bang particle of creation. And they're saying they're trying to open up another dimension. And even Stephen Hawking, who is not one who is favorable to Christianity, has warned that they are playing with black holes. They are playing with the destruction of even opening up a black wormhole. But again, when we talk about this 70th anniversary, it's the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, of the end of the Holocaust, and of the opening of the United Nations, the 70th. Well, at the time of Noah, that generation is 70 generations coming to a full now. And the prophecies of Enoch, which Enoch said, do not include in the Bible, but this book of Enoch is for the end times, that he said that in these last days, in the 70th generation, the pit of hell where the fallen angels who went in, the sons of God, who went into the daughters of men, would be unlocked. And they are planning on September 23rd to run full power and to unlock this other dimension, to unlock something that they do not know that they are doing in front of this huge machine. In their foyer is the statue of Shiva, the god of destruction. And so you see again, how much more does God have to do? When America flashed on the White House the rainbow colors, they again desecrated the symbol of God's covenant with his people. They kidnapped, they stole the symbol of God's covenant with humanity. And they splashed it as a memorial and as a sign of desecration upon the White House. 6 days later, what happened? The Star of Bethlehem showed in the sky. First time since the time of the birth of Jesus that we have seen that Star of Bethlehem. To us who are Christians, it is a sign of the coming of Jesus. But to those who are not, it is a warning that he is coming. And he is not coming as a lamb, as a gentle Lamb of God, but he is coming as a warrior, as a judge of the whole nations. And so, my dear people, God's heart is extending. It is broken. He ever liveth to make intercession to the uttermost. And he's crying for a church that is broken, that is confused, that is divided, that we cannot even get along with the church down the street. Where are the churches in fasting and prayer now? Lou Engels came just a couple weeks ago, and he declared a 40-day fast. That man of God who declared the call into all the states years ago and has prayed and cried for this nation as his birthright. Where are the churches weeping and crying for our sin of folly in putting up the Tower of Babel and seeing it destroyed 14 years ago? That is coming tomorrow. Where is the weeping and crying? Where is the gathering for the solemn holy convocations? My people, God is weeping and crying. Cry for my people, Jeremiah said.
Thank you, Don. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. And we've got, Don, we're going to have about 5-7 minutes here when we come back. Thank you for listening in this morning on Christ Today, KKXX Radio.
The Downtown Chico Business Association invites you to the 30th Annual Taste of Chico, Northern California's best food, beverage, music, and fine art festival. Taste of Chico takes place Sunday, September 13th from noon until 4 in the heart of downtown Chico on the streets surrounding City Plaza. The finest restaurants, caterers, breweries, wineries, beverage distributors from around the region will be on hand offering tantalizing tastes of their signature items. Several stages will be hosting live music, including headliners Diego's Umbrella on the Tres Hombres stage inside the Coors Light Cold Zone. Families will also enjoy the Kids Zone, featuring a variety of kid-friendly programs, activities, and goodies. There are a variety of ticket packages available, sure to satisfy all appetites. Tickets are available in the DCBA office, Tri-Counties Bank, Diamond W Western Wear, and at the Thursday Night Market, also online at downtownchico.com.
All right, welcome back to Christ Today. We've got just a few minutes here left, Don, but we've brought us up to September 28th, and we've been talking about this is the year of the Shemitah. We've talking about the blood moons, and now coming up on the 28th of this month, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this is the last blood moon of this eighth tetrad, and it's supposed to be the biggest and the brightest blood moon. I encourage everyone to stay up and watch this blood moon. It's going to be incredible. Don, tell us about this Feast of Tabernacles coming up on the 28th with this last blood moon.
Yes, thank you, Brother Tori. It is interesting that these blood moons and the solar eclipses have actually covered all of the earth. So God, in his portents of his signs of his creation, have signaled to all of humanity so that none, according to the book of Romans chapter 1, are unaware of the visible and the invisible things of God, his handprints. And yes, this last blood moon is solely something that Israel will be able to see. As I said before, they did not see the other blood moons. Those were for the Gentile nations. Those were for America. But as I said, as we have finished this old year and are now entering on the 13th this new year, it is as if God is turning his face away from the Gentiles, away from America, and away from the church, so to speak. And he's again, with this last blood moon, is solely speaking to Israel, that he is setting his attentions again on Israel. And so we see this as the moon being brighter and larger than at any other time. God speaking about this, speaking in so many ways to his people about this tabernacling with God, drawing into intimacy with him. I with God and God with me, that Jesus said, my Father and I desire to dwell in you and to make our abode in you. And that is why the judgments are becoming more severe, because we're so comfortable. We have this life of ease, and God is shaking us and warning us. He doesn't want to do this, but his love is too great to let us go the way that we are. We have seen the glory of God in the Philippines. We have seen the kabod presence of God where his presence came, and it was like terror, the holy terror of God. We dared not move. We dared not breathe. The awesomeness of God. But there was a price that we paid in the Philippines with our community of believers. We paid the price and we prayed the price. Months and years of prayer. And this is what God is calling his people to pray. And so this last blood moon is leading us into this new Jubilee year. And of course, this 50th year has to do with restoration. So we can see that God is still going to restore to his Israel the promises that he gave to Abraham about his land. So we may see, and I believe that we will see, the Psalms 83 war and the restoration of the promises God made to Abraham.
Don, this has been an exciting Christ Today, and I really thank you for being on. We've been able to talk about so many different things and pack it all into 1 hour of the exciting things that are coming here in the month of September, the end of the calendar year, the first day of the Jewish year on the 13th. Is that correct? Am I close?
Yes, first day of the new year, but then the Jubilee actually begins at sundown on the Day of Atonement.
Okay, perfect. So coming into that, and what should we be doing as believers at this time? I know we'll be praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, but would it be wise? I mean, it seems wise to me that we should just, you know, maybe have some food on hand, some water, some different things. You got any insight for us there?
Well, Jesus always said, watch and pray, prepare. Pray, watch, and prepare. When God spoke to Noah, Noah prepared for 120 years. The very first economic disaster recorded and judgment recorded against the nations was during the time when Joseph was in captivity, and yet he was one who, in his suffering and in his captivity and his jailment, the presence of God never left him. He never left his faith in God, and he was given the deciphering of the dreams of Pharaoh for 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And so God gave him wisdom, and he prepared the nation of Egypt, even though it was not his own nation. But he prepared that nation, because one day after the feasting would come the 7 years of famine, and the nations came to Egypt. And there was one man who stood up for Yahweh, and he provided the salvation through food and then through the living testimony of Jehovah Jireh, that God is God and there is no others. And so people will say all the time, oh, aren't you just hoarding food? Oh, isn't it foolish? Well, I ask you, do you have insurance for your cars? Do you have fire insurance? Do you have house insurance? Why shouldn't we prepare? Every miracle in the Bible, God used something the people had in order to multiply it. We have seen food multiply in the Philippines miraculously, but we had something there. Yes, I urge every Christian to prepare 1 year at least minimum of non-perishable foods and waters. And why? So that we have food to share for such a time as this. God has brought us into the kingdom so that when the Gentiles and the sinners are wondering about what is happening in the crisis, we have food and they can come to us because God has spoken to us. It is in the Word of God, and we are living testimonies of the living love of God stretched out to the people. We have to have something to give in order for them to receive.
Wow, Don, thank you so much. I'm so excited that you were here and that the Lord worked it out for you to be here today on Christ Today. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Thank you for sharing with us about this September and the things, the events, the year of the Shemitah, and the events that are fastly approaching upon us here in September. And I encourage our listeners, and thank you for joining in with us today, but I encourage our listeners to get on your knees and pray and seek God's face and ask him, what would you have us to do, Lord? And you will hear from him. If you ask, he will answer. And pray for our nation. I encourage you to pray for the United States of America. I encourage you to pray for lost loved ones. I encourage you to witness. We should be doing this every day, regardless of the circumstances, the things that are going on around us. We need to be a living example. We need to do what God has told us to do, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we thank the Lord for that opportunity. Man, he's given us a great opportunity here in the amazing United States of America, which was founded on godly principles. And for such a time as this, this is you know, in God's plan and purpose for our nation. And we have a voice. He's given us a voice, and he's given us his word, which he watches over to perform. So pray, fast, and seek the Lord, and he will come and heal our land. Thank you so much for joining in. We'll see you here again on KKXX Radio, AM 930 and 104.5, right here in Chico. Take care, and God bless you. Have a great week.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.